asking these questions.
All right, I'd like to call the Culture Committee meeting to order. Roll call, please.
Congressman Bickhorst?
Present.
Congressman Potts? Oop, sorry, wrong one. My apologies. Congressman Maker? Congressman Mason? Congresswoman Stabler?
Present.
Congresswoman Pratt?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the opportunity to serve the OSH people. We ask that you watch over all of our people, people in mourning, people serving us on the lines in active deployment, to watch over our elderly, and especially our children. We ask all this in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Next is approval of the minutes for April 2nd.
Motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the minutes for April 2nd. All those in favor say yes.
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 Any opposed, say no. Okay, motion minutes are approved. Next is consideration of appointees. Francis Williams, there's another. It's on the agendas for appointees because I was expecting another packet to come in. One more to the Tribal Cultural Advisory Committee, but I have not received that yet. So we have on the agenda for Francis Williams. You have your packet before you. There's any... discussion? There's a note from Ms. Williams as well as her packet, and then if there's any discussion, I'll open it up to the committee, and then I have a comment, additional comment from her. Congresswoman Stabler?
I have known Ms. Williams for a number of years and know that she is always active, an active member of whatever she participates in. And of course, this is a reappointment, isn't it?
To this Veterans Commission.
Mm-hmm. And so I will hold my motion until you've made her comments, but I am pleased to move her forward.
Okay. Congressman Bighorse.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to state that I've been involved with Gray Horse War Mothers for over 30 years, and Mrs. Williams has been a part of it longer than that. You know, plus, as she states, you know, she's married to a veteran, has veteran children and nephews, nieces, as a lot of our families do, and she's very proud of that. So I just wanted to say that much.
Okay, thank you. Okay, just I touched base with her, and just her additional comments would be that she's very honored to be on this commission for an extended period, and she believes that the memorial is a beautiful monument dedicated to all of our Osage veterans, and that she was proud to be asked to be a part of it in the capacity of a war mother, and that she thanks Congress. Okay. So that's it. If you guys have a motion or... Congressman Big Horse.
Yes, Madam Chair. I move to report to Congress a recommendation for the appointment of Francis Williams for a 3-year term to the Osage Nation Veterans Memorial Commission as a candidate who is qualified by education, experience, and there are no ethical or legal barriers to service.
Second.
Okay, motion's made and seconded to report Ms. Williams to Congress as qualified by education, experience, and there are no ethical or legal barriers to service for a 3-year term. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed say no. Okay. I will let her know, and then I'll report her out tomorrow, and then probably ask to place her on Wednesday's agenda for confirmation. Next is consideration of ONC 1938, an act to amend ONC 1848 to provide a supplemental appropriation in the amount of $390,829 to historic preservation and to establish an alternate effective date. I am the sponsor, so I will turn the chair over to the vice chair, Congresswoman Stabler.
Thank you. Congresswoman Pratt, you have the floor.
Okay, thank you. Okay, this was asked by the executive branch to bring this forth regarding the program revenue in the Historic Preservation Department. I realize that they are at a certain amount thus far in the year. It is projected to be $390,829. And I believe they're, I don't have the exact number before me, but it's roughly $85,000 that they are at right now. And then I have information from the accounting office, because it's, excuse me, hang on. Okay, then there's an account receivable invoice for $100,000 that Dr. Hunter has billed beyond the $80,000 or so that she's already made. And then it's my understanding they're upcoming, ongoing and upcoming projects. So we have a couple of employees from Historic Preservation to be here on behalf of Dr. Hunter, and that is Von Chishawala and Jackie Rogers, that's right. And Mr. Johnson, go ahead. You all would like to join us at the table to discuss these projects. Thank you.
Jackie and Fawn will be talking to you all about the technical detailed stuff. Mm-hmm. I just like everybody to remember that because the FCC and all that stuff, all of the things that happened in the summer, we weren't expecting, Dr. Hunter wasn't expecting any program income, and voila, here it is. So that's why we're here. I'd also like to ask this committee to be thinking about us coming to see you in the HUNCA session to get some legislation for a revolving fund. We've tried this once before, but if everything goes through with the FCC like we're hoping it will, and the cell tower business, instead of coming in here every other week to get money appropriated that is earned, we can have that revolving fund and it can go in there, because they need these dollars to continue to conduct operations, you know, the same types of operations that they're doing now. And they're a small department stretched thin. They're going all the way from the Ohio River Valley all the way down, across through Missouri, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Kansas, multiple states. There's not a lot of them. You know, so a lot of contract money goes out, you know, for other archaeologists and things like that to monitor our sites that are a long ways from home. And, you know, we've still got other things that pop up anytime we want to build something around here. We got to call those guys in, and they have to, you know, they have to readjust schedules, you know, to come do those historic prez site visits and to make sure that we're not digging up, you know, any old historic sites and graves and things like that. So they're dealing with a deal out in Kansas right now that just popped up on us. So this money means a lot to them, and it'd be a whole lot easier, you know, if it were going into that revolving fund as opposed to us coming to you guys every time. Every time a new deal pops up. So there you have it.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Johnson. Is there any questions from the committee? Further discussion? Congressman Big Horse.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think I heard some discussion prior to the meeting that made me feel a little bit more at ease, but Fawn, if you and if you ladies would expound just a little bit on your contracts and the monies, the possible monies coming in, because I think that was kind of some of the drawback from a few of the other legislators, along with myself, was do you have something in place to recoup this money? And
yes, sir. All of the contracts and all of the monitoring for our pipelines is refundable, and we will bill each different project for our services and any expenses incurred by the contract monitors that are out there. So we should be reimbursed all monies for the expenses.
So we're not only talking cell towers, we're talking pipelines also, and mm-hmm. That's great. Because we're talking about exerting sovereignty.
These are specifically pipelines and projects that are coming up with a few broadband cell towers that are coming up. So we will invoice each company that proposes those or applies for those with Section 106 and be reimbursed for all of our expenses. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Have you got some projections on your projects, revenue projections for your projects?
If Dr. Hunter has some, I am not aware of those detailed numbers. However, I know that we have several that are in place that is a specific dollar amount that is paid to our monitors and then reimbursed. But over the past few years, especially with the pipeline projects, the monitoring amounts have had to have been increased or adjusted because they are out there for such extended hours. But when I spoke with her this morning, she said it was projected cost of around $400,000 for professional fees, which is contract monitors.
And so when those are billed out, they're billed out at a higher rate than the cost, or how are the expenses covered?
So we have monitor hourly wages, and then there is per diem rates, hotel rates, and
mileage
and provisions that are reimbursed to us.
No administrative cost?
I'm not certain of that.
Okay.
I don't know if she has administrative costs in there. I'm sorry I did not bring one of our invoices.
Okay, so are these, so are you saying that these are dollar for dollar? Whatever we expend in cost to run a project, we're reimbursed for just those areas, dollar for dollar. We're not reimbursed $2 for each dollar of work that we do.
Right.
Or we're not, okay.
And I'd like to add too, it's pretty difficult to determine, to project any future amount that we may have to put into this, because oftentimes the pipelines or the other large projects will give us a much shorter time frame than what it actually takes to do the construction. So we end up being out there a lot longer usually than they've even projected. So it's pretty difficult to try and put those numbers together.
Okay. So
about 40,000.
So even though we're great to have all this money generated, and we talk about all the money that's brought in, it costs us the same amount. We expend the same amount as what we're reimbursed for.
I would need to run upstairs and get one of our invoices for the pipelines to look if there's additional dollars that are refunded to us, because I'm not certain of that right now.
I guess my question would be, you mentioned that Congressman Big Horse mentioned, you know, this is an exercise in our sovereignty. So I guess that would have some value to it. Somebody kind of needs to explain to me why we're in this function. Is that it? It's just
it's
for just
protect sacred sites.
And that's the work we do. And so that's the value. And but we're not possibly not reimbursed for the labor that goes on in your offices to conduct these projects, maybe. That would be your administrative cost.
Well, there is report monitoring. Monitoring reports, they are able to bill for those as well. But I would need to look at the invoices and state, confirm whether or not there's administrative costs that are included with those invoices that Dr. Hunter provides to the companies.
Okay.
Sorry, so, I didn't print one off.
Well, what I'm trying to maybe get down to then, so is the labor covered for the administrative costs through the grant or compact funds?
The labor?
Yes. Okay.
Absolutely. The labor is covered.
For your office.
I'm not
familiar with your budget, and I guess that's where I'm falling short, is I'm not familiar how your budget works or how your program works. So if you receive federal dollars, those probably cover the cost of the administrative cost, and you're saying that the labor costs and the projects that we work on were just reimbursed for those labors. So
I'm not certain that we receive federal funds specifically for these projects.
Okay.
There's federal dollars that is received, but I don't handle those accounts.
Okay.
I'm going off the top of my head, so you got to beg for my, I beg for forgiveness. The only federal dollars that historic preservation gets is Section 106, and it's not very much money. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's
in our TIPA
it's a couple thousand bucks. I mean, it's not, and it's for very specific things. All the rest of the inspections, the monitoring, all of that is done with 100% tribal dollars. So every bit of it's tribal money.
Okay.
So yeah. We just don't have the federal funds.
Okay. I'm just trying to get down to where the reconciliation is and maybe what this costs us to operate outside the money that's brought in or the federal dollars that are brought in. Are we, and if you all aren't running project management, then where do we fall? Or at least are we at least breaking even anywhere?
So here's the way I understand it. Remember, I'm the DO. I'm not the expert in this. So we're going to do a pipeline out in Illinois. There is a requirement by federal law. They don't give us any money, but there's a requirement by federal law. If I'm going to build my pipeline, I've got to talk to this Indian nation to monitor what I'm doing to that ground And then these, you know, these guys have to go in and they have to say yes or no. These are not historic sites. There weren't any campgrounds here. There were no villages, no burial grounds, none of that. So you're fine as far as that goes. And then they have to monitor the you know, wherever that thing is going to go, because they're digging up the earth. And so the costs included in that is to be able to get there and get home, eat, stay in a room somewhere, and pay that person, that individual, to conduct that work. So I guess theoretically we're not making money off of it. We're getting just enough to pay all of the costs involved in ensuring that those guys are doing what they're supposed to do.
Okay,
that's the way I understand it, but I try to understand as simple as possible.
I think from outside the doors to cover the project, I get that. I was just wondering how the program itself might cover itself by doing all these projects, because there's work that you all are doing in the office as well.
Right. The main way that we previously did that was through the FCC funding. That was within the federal, right, within the federal law. That was the only type of project that we reviewed that we were supposed to be reimbursed for. And since the lawsuit has been going on, they haven't been reimbursing anyone for that work. The only other federal money that we get is the TIPO grant that Mr. Johnson was discussing. And that goes specifically to reviewing these projects when we first get them. Okay. So we end up going out on these larger projects oftentimes when the federal agency and the other states haven't really been doing their due diligence, because they often have lower standards, so to speak. So we have to be out there to make sure that they're doing what they need to be doing and that they're not disturbing significant sites.
All right. So in the next 4 months, expect to expend the $390,000 within the next 4 months.
Right now, we've got one large project in St. Louis that we're all rotating in and off of. There's another one in Kansas that's going right now, I believe. And then I think there's three or four more that are about to kick off. So,
okay. And the billing that will come in will cover the cost of that $392,000.
Yes. Okay.
That's all I have.
So is the amount beyond, do you think, for the next... I was calculating 5 months, but okay, 4 months beyond the 100,000 that's already billed, likely?
Yes.
Because then that would be roughly a rate of 40,000 a month. Okay. Okay, any more discussion? Additional?
No, I don't.
Want to see?
And I can go get a couple invoices and see about the administrative fees, of whether or not they're included, and how much of the administrative costs we are reimbursed, and let you know that.
Thank you. That would be great information, I think.
Yes, ma'am.
Want to do that?
No.
No. Okay. I guess this is the status quo. I was just curious on how they reconcile their costs.
If you guys would be willing to take a 5-minute break,
yeah, that's what I was saying. That's fine.
Okay, great. I'll be right back.
Okay, we're in a 5-minute recess. 10-minute.
Did you do your foot?